I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show. Divisional weekend is here. We'll chat right now with a special teams coach legend. That, of course, is Mike Westhoff. Also get a little perspective on the Giants hire of Joe Judge coming over from the Patriots as a special teams coordinator and wide receivers coach and now being the new head man in New York. Mike, always great to have you on. How you been?
I'm great, thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, doing fantastic and can't complain. So first off, your reaction to the Giants hiring Joe Judge?
Frankly, it's interesting. I kind of want to say it's about time, the way I feel. I just think there's a path that's been created that people think, the media thinks, this is the path you have to go to become a head coach. They created it, no one else. So I think it's about time. I think good coaches come from a variety of sources. And it doesn't make a special teams guy any more or necessarily less qualified. This guy, if you look at his background, you know, where he went to school and played, and he worked for Nick Saban all those years, and then up with Bill Belichick in that program, and went on. And so, you know, obviously Coach Belichick, who he's learned from on a daily basis, you know, feels, I'm sure, felt strong enough to recommend him. And he went in and did a good job. And so I'm not surprised at all. I know I'm a little thick. What I do know I like. I was impressed. I thought he was. I know last year when I was with the Saints, I believed that we would play the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And so after I finished my preparation for the Rams, I spent some time on New England. And I liked what he was doing. I thought it was innovative. It was relatively creative. And they looked organized and, frankly, he did a couple things that I was actually really looking forward to going against because I thought I could beat him. But I think that with everybody. But I liked what I saw. And from what I've heard and read, he seems to be a good coach, and I think he'll bring some very good qualities to the job.
Something I really do like about hiring a special teams coach is we see coaches now, they come on in as an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and they stick to calling the plays, and you forget about the rest of the team, or you hire in, let's say if you're a sharp offensive coordinator, you become the head coach, you bring in a defensive coordinator, just run the whole defense. You don't really have a nose in the defense. When you're a special teams coordinator, you're not calling the offensive plays. You're not calling the defensive plays, and you really get to manage the whole team.
No, you absolutely do. You deal with everybody. And plus, I think there's a development thing there that I hope it carries over because you have to have it as a special teams coach. All of a sudden, you know, here you are, you're teaching a wide receiver how to tackle. You're teaching a linebacker how to block correctly, something that they don't normally do. And you look for a guy to find a multiplicity of skills. You know, what else can he do? And because you're gonna have to do this as a special teams coach. You know, you're not gonna get a handpicked roster. You're gonna have to take guys from all over and mold them together and create not only a winning atmosphere but a knowledge. And you have to teach them that part of the game. I think that's a very good part right there. And then also there's the diversity. You know, you have to be able to be a little bit flexible and do something different all the time. Be a little creative. Or you're not going to make it. You won't. You can still do the job, but you won't do anything special. And then also, there's a thing like you mentioned. I think you have a good point with a coordinator. You know, offense and defensive coordinators are proactive. They're proactive. They're looking at what the next play. Special teams coaches and head coaches have to be reactive. Okay, what happened? What do we do now? And a good head coach is always prepared. Okay, now what happened? We didn't get it. Are we going to go for it? Are we going to punt it? You know, what's the situation? What substitutes do we need? You know, how do we – and you're always doing that. You're always – I know when I was with Sean Payton, because when I went down there, he let me – and I didn't know him when I went to the Saints. I'd never met him. And he let me – I controlled the whole thing. And we were talking about running fakes. We had Taysom Hill, who no matter what the media guys tell you, trust me, I got Taysom Hill on that roster. He was one. He had never dressed a game. Never had he dressed a game. And I got him going, and anyway, everybody realized what a great
nice job out of you.
Yeah, well, I got them started. That's all I did. But trust me, I got them started. But I knew we could run fakes. So I talked to Sean. I ran a couple during the preseason. And he said, you know, Mike, you got to let me know when we're going to do that. And I said, well, I'll let you know during the week, the circumstances. But when it comes to the game, you have to trust me. I said, you're calling plays. So you're looking at a third down call for a relative point of success. I'm looking at your call for a point of failure. Because that's going to tell me what to do. I said, there's no way that you can be able to turn around and say, all right, let's run the fake here. It can't happen. So I just called it. And it worked. We got it every time. And so that helped me a little bit, the fact that we were successful. But he let me do it. He said, yeah, sometimes, I remember one time he said, oh, Mike, we're not going to run. I said, yeah, we are. I said, tell Drew to get ready. We got it. So I got along great with him. But there's just a difference. And sometimes a special teams coach has to be able to flourish in those kind of circumstances. Clock management. You know, do you get a timeout here? What personnel group do we need? Special teams coaches are always dealing in those realms, and that sometimes, if he's done it correctly, that can help him prepare.
Mike Westhoff here with us on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. How about the future there in New Orleans? Because you would think Drew's going to be back, but Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent. And then Taysom Hill, his stock is rising from more than just a special teams player, catching the football, running the football as well. Who knows, maybe he could be the future at quarterback.
I think he absolutely can be. I think he can be. I mean, take a look at Baltimore. It's the same kind of guy. Taysom Hill does those same things. I think he throws better. Yeah, that's the kind of football player he is. Remember, he was a very good quarterback at Brigham Young. I think when I was down there, I talked to Drew a little bit, I don't know for sure. I did not ask him, or he did not tell me. But his level of enthusiasm would lead me to believe that he's a long way. He's absolutely not ready to quit. He's going to keep. I think he'll go for a little while. I think he will. I believe that. I also think that this is my opinion. I'm just guessing. I'm just speculating. I think Teddy Bridgewater might have the opportunity to move on to another team as a starter. And I think then Taysom Hill will be the guy that ends up being the successor. I really believe that's going to happen. We'll have to see. I could be wrong, but I think you'll see him as the next quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Now, what I hope they do is I hope they go out and they get a young kid. They draft a young guy for down the road, or bring in a real veteran guy to be the number two and let Taysom Hill continue in the realm he's in. Because if you just have Taysom Hill as your second quarterback, well, then he can't do all the things he's doing now. But if he's part of a three-man package, he can. And then when it's his turn, I think he'll be a heck of a quarterback. And I think you'll see an offense that's similar to Baltimore that can do a lot of different things. And Sean Payton is an extremely qualified coach, and he's very, very creative. Sean Payton's a good coach.
Mike Westhoff here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, there's one open job left in the National Football League. That's the Cleveland Browns. When we look at their old coach in Freddie Kitchens, just bringing it back to the Joe Judge situation, Freddie, to me, wasn't ready for that job, and he was calling the plays and had a lot of other issues in that locker room as well. Can you give us an insight? Because you've been around the league for a long time. Are you ever in a situation where a coordinator or head coach was in over their head and not ready to go, and what that vibe is like in the locker room when there's players questioning the coach week in and week out?
That's an interesting point. Frankly, to be honest with you, I never really have. A long time when I started, when I did my first job, when Frank Kush was the head coach of the Baltimore Colts and then moved to Indianapolis, Frank Kush was a very successful college coach, and he's a very good friend of mine. He was. You know, I have deepest respect for him. But as an NFL coach, there were some things he was really not prepared for. And I think that did, the players lost confidence in him. That was a little bit of a problem. But that was a different situation. Since a guy that had kind of reached above what he had been very, very successful with. But the other guys, you know, I was with Don Shula for 12 years and Jimmy Johnson. They're pretty good coaches. And then when I came up here, you know, Herman had his chance and he did some good things. And Mangini came along. It was a little bit different. Eric, in a lot of ways, was exceptionally well prepared, but yet his people skills were probably very exceptionally unprepared. That was the problem with them. And then Rex came in, and Rex did a good job. Rex had an interesting philosophy, and all of a sudden, you know, we decided to move on from it. Now, it's the... It's the philosophy that everybody's believing in, you know, being able to run the ball and play good defense. And, you know, we were very good on special teams. And, you know, so all of a sudden now that's a popular philosophy. You know, Mike Tannenbaum decided that we'd become the New England Patriots in New York, and that didn't work out too well. I kind of liked it when we were, you know, we weren't necessarily a sexy team, but we were really efficient. And I thought we could have developed that. You know, Mark Sanchez was our quarterback, and we went to two AFC championship games. We were a good football team, and then we made this drastic move, and that's when I decided it was time for me to go home.
Mike Westhoff here with us on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Coach, let's transition now to the games this weekend. Let me start you off with Vikings 49ers. What do you think about this one?
I think the 49ers will beat them, although Minnesota played exceptionally well against my old Saints. I was heartbroken. I mean, I thought they outplayed the coach very well. I like the fact they put their quick guys over the guards. That really hurt that hurt New Orleans' passing game. I thought Minnesota played a good game. I think the pass rush for the 49ers will give them problems, and I don't believe they're going to run the ball against the 49ers the way they did against the Saints. So I saw the 49ers in person. I was at the game when they played the Saints. I think that's a good football team, and I see them as the guys that will win there, although – The Minnesota did impress me, but I don't think they can beat those guys.
So, yeah, the 49ers in the NFC Championship game, they'll be home for that one. Will it be the Seahawks or the Packers playing them next weekend?
That's a good question. Everybody's picking the Packers. I don't know. You know, the Packers defense, everybody talked about how much better they are. I looked at their numbers, and they're, what are you kidding me? They didn't jump off the page. I mean, I just looked at it. I was just looking at it. I think Seattle – it's going to give them a really good football game. I think they're going to be a good game. It would not surprise me for Seattle to win that game. I think, you know, if I had to pick, I'd probably go, you know, because I'm not a gambler. I don't do that. I'd probably go with Green Bay. It's up there. But you know, Rodgers has been a little bit off. Green Bay runs the ball pretty good, but I think Seattle somehow scrounges around and can get it done. So if I was going to pick maybe kind of an upset, I guess, it might be that Seattle goes up to Green Bay and beats them.
Talking to Mike Westhoff a few more with the special teams legendary coach on CBS Sports Radio. Everyone expects the Chiefs and the Ravens to be playing in the AFC Championship game next weekend. Who do you think has a better shot to pull off the upset? Is it the Houston Texans going to Kansas City or the Tennessee Titans going to Baltimore?
I love Houston's quarterback. I mean, I love him. I think Deshaun Watson is an incredible quarterback. I consulted, and Clemson was one of my schools. So I was down at Clemson working with them and meeting with them when he was a junior. So I got to know him. I got to know about him very well and very early. I think he's incredible, but I think Kansas City is going to eat him up. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure the rest of that football team can be the gym class. I'm just not. They just don't. I know their defense has gotten better. They'll get some pass rush. I think that's a little bit better there. But I'm not. I think Kansas City's going to beat them. I think they're going to beat them up.
And then, okay, Coach, before we let you run, I just got two more for you, and they're going to be Hall of Fame type of questions. I would love to see Steve Tasker get in the Hall of Fame one day, but how about Matt Slater right now? As a special teams coach, you got to love what you're seeing from Matt Slater, right?
Yeah, he's really good. He's really a good football player. But you're right. You're the same. Steve Tasker, I think it's, like, ridiculous. I mean he wrecked games. He wrecked games. He made plays. He caused turnovers. You know, but when we used to play the Pro Bowl, I mean, back when we actually played it, when it was a real game.
Not what it is now, where you just show up and have a nice little practice and get your money.
Now it's gym class. Back when we really played it. Steve Tasker was the MVP. Now, everybody was mad at me because I blitzed him. I didn't care. I did everything. I was coaching him. But I didn't care. I wanted the extra money, and we got it. We won. And I was happy as could be. So trust me, I have the deepest respect for him. I saw things that he did in the games where he completely changed the momentum of the football game. Now, Slater is not quite as dynamic. He doesn't quite do the explosive things, but he's a really good football player. He's really good. But that goes to show you a little bit about the philosophy of Bill Belichick. You know, he's going to keep this kind of guy. You know, he talks about everybody else. But all his football team is built with those kind of fundamentals and those building blocks. He does that exceptionally well. You know, you're never going to line up against the Bill Belichick team where you've got guys that you know you can handle. You know, some things he's like now you don't see a good kickoff returner because you know that play's kind of going out of football. But the other stuff, he's going to make sure that he's really good at. And Slater is one of the very tops. I had the deepest respect for him.
Let me ask you one more, and I know you're going to probably be proud about this one. Zach Thomas is a Hall of Fame finalist. We'll see if he gets in. Tell us the story how you fudged the results when you were working him out back in the day to try to get him on your team.
I just talked to him last week. He and I are very good friends. He comes over here and goes fishing with me every year. In fact, I still catch a biggest shark, so he hasn't beaten me yet. But
You still got that competitive vibe in you.
I was the only coach that went to – no, trust me, lots of scouts, and everybody knew him. But I was the only coach that went out to work him out. I worked him out. I loved him. I you know, he didn't have the numbers. He didn't have it. And so, you know, I fudged on it. I just did it. And, like, I just talked to him the other day, and he was talking about it. And he said, Coach, he said, Mike, he said, you know, when you got up to leave the room, he said, you're the only guy ever that sat with me and wanted to know what was my worst game. And that's the film you wanted to watch. And he said, then you asked me all the mistakes that I made and what I would learn from it. He said, so that was different. And he said, you got up and left the room, and I looked at your sheet. You didn't know I did this. He was telling me this. He said, everything I did, you lied. Said you lied on it. And he said, why? I said, I'll tell you a quick story. I'll make this very quick. It's 1972 or 3. I'm coaching at Indiana University. I was a graduate assistant. And we had an older coach that had been in Indiana for a long, long time, man, named Howard Brown, who had died. And Lee Corso came to me and gave me his car keys. And he said, I want you to do me a favor the next 2 days. He said, go up to Indianapolis and pick up Woody Hayes. He said, Coach Hayes is coming over for the funeral, and I'd like you to take him around, make sure he gets to where he has to get, et cetera, et cetera. So I spent 2 days taking Woody Hayes everywhere through the campus and the funeral and the arrangements. And we were driving back to Indianapolis, and Coach Hayes said to me, he said, we spent a lot of time talking football. And he said, I can tell that you're really into conditioning and weightlifting. He said, you know, it looks like you do it yourself. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, I want you to remember something as a coach. And I said, okay. He said, I never saw a weightlifter that was a football player. He said, but I've seen a lot of football players learn how to lift weights. He said, never let a number, positively or negatively, keep you from determining who's a football player. He said, make sure you always know the difference. And I wasn't going to let a number keep me from getting Zach Thomas.
Absolutely awesome. Hey, Coach, I could talk with you all day. Best of luck. Great health to you and your family, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.